Good morning. I suppose we're going to finish off the session by just taking you across the Atlantic Ocean, and we're going to focus on the small island, island of Ireland today. I would like to start off by acknowledging my co-authors. Okay, we're going to some background. In the EU, the Nitrates Directive was brought in 1991 and has subsequently been brought under the umbrella of the EU Water Framework Directive. And their aims were to address agricultural source pressure and improve water quality. And in the Republic of Ireland, the Nitrates Action Programme brought in a suite of measures. They did this across the whole territory for nitrogen and phosphorus, and they did this in 2006. And phosphorus is recognised as a key trophic pressure on water quality. And in Ireland, these measures that were brought in were to restrict phosphorus application according to the agronomic soil phosphorus levels. So in Ireland, we have a 4 index category system. So those that fall into index 1 or 2 are seen as where soil phosphorus levels are deficient. There's not enough there for the crop and animal requirements. Index 3 is where we're seen as there's optimum, there's enough levels there for the crop and animal requirement. However, index 4 is then are seen where phosphorus levels in the soils are above what the crop and animal require. So as these are seen as where the excessive phosphorus levels are. And these were the mitigation measures, one to reduce these index 4 soils and decrease the risk then to water quality. So we asked the question, are PD mitigation measures having the desired effect? And we observed this across the nutrient continuum or the cascade at the watershed scale. So we wanted to look from the sources, the inputs, the soils, the mobilisation of the phosphorus across the pathways, the delivery of the phosphorus into the water, into our surface waters, and the impact then it was having on the ecology, which deemed the water quality status. So the study site here is located in the southeast of Ireland. It's an intensive arable production area. Annual precipitation since we started reporting in the study in 2009 has been just over 1,000 millimetres of precipitation annually. It's on a typically, so as I said, it's well drained, it's on a typical brown earth, or what is known as a camdosol. So in this watershed, we're equipped to basically capture and monitor the phosphorus concentrations and the water input and discharge. And you can see this in the display of this aerial photograph of this watershed with multiple stations throughout capturing this level of monitoring. So what did we do? Well, we carried out a soil census, and we did this for available phosphorus. And we used it using Morgan's extractable pea. So this is the agronomic extractable phosphorus in Ireland. We did this in 2009, and this was our baseline. And we repeated it again in 2013. So we took samples every 2 hectares. We took them to a depth of 10 centimetres. We also collected crop management and nutrient input records throughout the study period of 2010 to 2013. We looked and we collected our continuous water discharge and phosphorus concentration data across the 4 years. So we're analysing for total reactive phosphorus, TRP, particulate phosphorus, and total phosphorus, which is TP. We also carried out season ecological surveys at 4 sites across this watershed over the 4 years. And these were sampled in May and September every year. So what are our results? So in this watershed from the nutrient inputs, we've seen that since the study period of 2010 to 2013, there's been an increase of phosphorus, slight increase of phosphorus inputs from around 24 kilograms of P per hectare up to 32 kilograms of P per hectare. And about 90% of this phosphorus being applied is in the chemical form. So, as I said, it was an intensive arable catchment, but what we see, what kind of production is happening? Well, nearly 50% over the study period has been sown as spring barley production. And if we focus a bit more on this this dominant crop in this watershed, we see with the exception of 2012, where in Ireland we had very high rainfall figures and it was damaging crop yields, most of the time from over the study period, yields have kind of generally slightly increased from 7.3 up to 7.6 tonnes per hectare. So we've seen that the inputs have kind of gradually increased and the yields aren't really suffering too much. So what does this mean in terms of our soil phosphorus trends? So just before I start, I'm just going to instruct you to look onto the top right-hand corner of where the legend is. And this is a 4-index agronomic index category that I talked about at the start. And most importantly, you'll see in the red, which is our index 4s, where the excessive phosphorus levels. And the results are going to be displayed reported on the area proportion to which each of these index categories fall into. And we're showing the 2009, which is the baseline results, and we're showing 2013, which is repeated. So what did we find? Well, proportionally there was an 8% decline in those excessive index 4 soils. What we also seen is that actually phosphorus continued to decline kind of critically within this watershed. As we've seen, the other indexes, kind of for index 3, the optimum decline, and the deficient soil phosphorus levels increase. And you see there were very deficient index 1s increased by 6%. And you see in the change in the mean and the median values as well have dropped. So we've seen basically from the sources, and when the phosphorus becomes mobilised then, what are the phosphorus in their pathways? So the phosphorus concentrations here are reported as the total reactive phosphorus and TP and total phosphorus concentrations are based on flow weighted, and this will account for changes in stream flow, dilution effects, concentrations that are more reflective then of the change in the source pressure. And this is we're looking at the during the duration of when nutrients are not being applied, so what we call our close period, the winter period. So this allows us then to attribute then any phosphorus concentrations to residual phosphorus loss from the labile pea stores, not from incidental. So what you see in our two graphs we have here, on the right hand, on the left hand side was TRP and on the left TP. We see across both have our four pathways. So in green is the quick flow, is the surface runoff. We have the red in the interflow. We have the black then, which is our shallow flow. And then we have the blue, which is groundwater. And just to note, on the left-hand graph, you see where we have the environmental quality standard threshold for the TRP, which is 0.035 milligrams per litre. So what we see is that phosphorus concentrations in this watershed are most dominant, are highest in the quick flow and the interflow. While there's some interannual fluctuations, general trends since 2012 have seen kind of decline, and most importantly what we see in the TRP that is declining to below the EQS threshold. What we kind of notice, if you just see on the graph below then, these are just the proportion to which the pathways, the phosphorus concentrations occupy the pathways. And we see in this watershed here that they're more groundwater driven, with some contributions from the quick flow, and due to the chemical, physiochemical nature of total phosphorus, we see that it is more driven by the quick flow for total P. Okay, so moving on to the delivery then. So this is the total reactive and the phosphorus concentrations that we measured at the outlet, and we did this on the hydrological year. So what you see, we have the flow weighted and we have the time weighted mean concentrations displayed. The dotted lines with the opal symbols, these are TRP, and the closed symbols with the black lines, this is TP concentrations. So there's no kind of, there's no exact kind of interannual kind of trends that we can really make out from the flow weighted and the time weighted TRP and TPs, but what we do note is that TRP most of the time is falling below the EQOS standard, which is good. So this moves us on then to the impact, the ecology. So this is measuring the ecology, which is the macroinvertebrates and the diatoms, and measuring their ecological quality ratios. So the higher these ratios increase, the better the status. And in the EU, the target is to have a good status. So what we're showing on these graphs here, on the left-hand side is the macroinvertebrates, on the right-hand side is the diatoms. And we're moving on each graph in chronological order. So we're starting from when they were first sampled in September 2009, moving up to most recent sampling, which is made this year. And just to note, in the shades of green, these are September sampling, so this is post-summer. And the shades of red, then, these are May sampling dates, which is post-winter. So, okay, there's no kind of exact clear interannual trends. You could see, obviously, the macroinvertebrates seem to have a better quality status, but these aren't exactly as sensitive to kind of changes in nutrient concentrations, whereas the diatoms are. These more reflective to when there is changes in nutrient concentrations. And what we see for the diatoms is that particularly in kind of the last kind of 3 years or so, there's been a bit of a step change and there's been an improvement in the status. And this we see more of an interseasonal change, where there's a step change particularly in May, which is after the winter period. So I do kind of stress, though, in order to really kind of see where there's a trend or improvement in the ecology, or recovery maybe because of maybe a reduction in nutrients, excessive concentrations, we need a bit of a longer time to see this. So then to conclude. So we asked the question, are soil P mitigation measures having the desired effect on this watershed? Well, in terms of sources, we can say yes. We've seen basically that the soil phosphorus levels have declined. In the pathways, yes, we can see that there is starting to decline across those pathways in terms of phosphorus concentrations. Delivery is a bit tentative, but, you know, a bit more time in a monitoring, we might see a bit of a change there. And impacts as well. We're kind of, the jury's still out on that. We might see more interseasonal trends instead of interannual trends. Why not? Well, ecology has other pressures that we know of. You know, the habitat has an influence. Point sources, particularly during summer periods where there's low flows. Scaling factors we also see as well. Smaller the watersheds, the quicker there is a response. And we feel that, you know, in order to see an improvement in the ecology to deem the better water quality status, policymakers need to be cognizant of this fact and need to allow for this time lag from what you see at the top of the continuum down to the impacts. I know I'm running short on time, so I'm just going to quickly mention that we have other watersheds in our programme that we look at. We have published some results on this. Just draw your attention to Murphy et al, who had a publication this year, who looks at the same questions as well. And if you want to talk to me afterwards, I can give you a bit more detail. Another watershed where we've kind of seen it's more poorly drained, but a contrast in terms of results, and I can discuss that with you afterwards. I want to finish off by acknowledging our funders, who are the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine in Ireland, and also my colleagues in the Agricultural Catchments Programme and the farmers within the Agricultural Catchments Programme for their support, and also Tagus colleagues as well for their support. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
There is time for questions, as this is the last speaker, we can reopen up.
Get grilled. In terms of this catchment here, phosphorus probably isn't exactly the biggest dominant pressure on it. It's more nitrogen, and it's more well drained. So, I think source pressure hasn't been exactly kind of as dominant as other catchments. But yes, you know, it might not have had much of a legacy issue maybe as other areas in terms of agricultural use and things. So what kind of threshold do you go above it? So it's we kind of treat it a bit differently for grassland soils. So when you go over 8 milligrams per litre of Morgan's phosphorus concentrations, and then for arable when you go over 10 milligrams per litre for Morgan's P. So once you go over that, then it's no man's land.
So you had an increase in
in terms of the drop in the soil, yeah. It is, yeah, and I suppose it's a sensitive issue. We see actually generally soils in Ireland have actually reduced in phosphorus concentrations throughout, and there's been reduction, and it could be attributed also to our pH with very acidic soils as well. So there is, I suppose, a divide between agronomic and environmental concerns. And I suppose they both link back to better nutrient management practices, you know. What we're trying to do is really push, you know, not just using nutrient management practices probably in the past in Ireland were more deemed regulatory, you know, more of a paperwork thing, maybe a little bit scared of that. And I think sometimes our phosphorus levels, maybe perhaps in this area, have dropped because they're a bit more regulatory influenced, you know. They're afraid to apply too much in case they're breaking the law. But I think it needs to just be better management, better redistribution. You know, encouraging farmers to look at their soil tests, encouraging them to make the right choices of what will basically give them the proper agronomic levels and take away, you know, reduce down the legacy areas of those in high index four soils, get dress that right balance. So there is a push on to ensure, you know, that they're be more well educated of what the proper pest management practices are.
So your classifications of the soil resolver, I mean, if you look at yield trends, are there concerns with
yeah,
classifications on those results?
Yeah, it's surprising. Now maybe it could be attributed to more of nitrogen inputs in some areas, but yes, there could be a cap. You know, they'll get to a certain point where some farmers will want to reach those higher yields. You know, price also has an influx on that as well. Margins in arable production, it's very tight, you know, so they're going to just basically apply out what they see, you know, they mightn't get the price they're looking for in early forecast. So it's a fine balance, and in this watershed it's interesting. We've seen a slight increase, we see a drop in our soil phosphorus levels. I'm yet to really get into the data that'll give me more the nutrient balance, which I'm really interested to see. And the soils in this watershed are high aluminium concentrations, so I think there's a bit of phosphorus storage there as well happening. So it's going to be interesting. I think some farmers are aware of that there too, because they have a tendency to apply their phosphorus at placement with seed, whereas typically in Ireland we would expect it to kind of be more broadcast. So they're being a bit more astute to that in terms of making sure they get the best out of their fertilisers rather than maybe building up the soil phosphorus levels. So there's a bit of trade-off there. Some in this watershed are, some, yeah, and because they see more quicker than we do. They have a better understanding of their soils. But yes, some of them are, depending on if they have the equipment to do it, if the cost allows them, yeah.
All right, well, we're at the end of the session. I'm sure that the other questions.